We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And welcome into our fourth and final hour of our four-hour block of outdoor programming, heard each and every Saturday morning. Glad to have you with us. What a beautiful day it is out there. I think if I had my choices, if I was fishing today, I'd be over there with Captain Clyde working on those white perch or sockeye. And if it was hunting, oh, yeah, I'd be out there looking for a gobbler right now in these piney woods. But anyway, I am here in studio at St. Hubert's Cathedral. We've got one more hour to go, and, boy, this is going to be my favorite hour because closing it out, we're going to have a special guest, 8-year-old Drew Dubuque, my nephew. He's got a pending state record fish that he caught 1 week ago today, and I think it's a heck of a story. And I want to invite you to listen in if you want to call in and chat with Mike. Drew. Mike is the dad. Drew can give you some tips now on duck hunting or fishing. He's 8 years old, but I think he's been hunting and fishing for about 25 years. But anyway, he can talk a good game, and he walks the walk, too. And he'll be with us. If you want to call him, it's 504-260-6368. Or you can text messages in here, and I'll pass them along to him at 870-870. That's coming up at 8:30. This segment, though, is dedicated. It fits in perfect with our last guest, Chef Philippe Parola, who is going to be at the 2019 Archbishop Rummel High School Beast Feast. That's going to be Wednesday at 5:30 at the Raider Banfield. He's going to be serving up those delicious silverfin fish cakes. And if you ever want to find out what is really good, the most popular, is look at the length of the line. And he was pretty well booked up last year. He's going to be back again this year. And if you want to talk about and find out more about the silverfin, also he can talk about how to grill it. If you don't want to make the cakes out of it, it comes across very good. I'm going to say it's right up there next to redfish, and he'll explain that to you. But if you want to find out everything you ever wanted to know about the Beast Feast, I got a couple of guys on with us right now, Jake Russo, chairman of the event, and also Marvin Gressy with the Rummel Alumni Association, going to talk about it. Hey, Marvin, how you doing this morning?
Hey, Don, how we doing this morning?
I'm great. Jake, you with us?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Don.
All right. Boy, I got two experts in Rummel Beast Feast on us right now. Marvin, I can't remember. Have we made the 20-year mark yet? Is this the 21st or 20th year anniversary?
We are in the 22 on the rodeo, Don. I think this is around 15, 16 on the Beast Feast. We were talking about at our last committee meeting. So we're trying to get the numbers straight there. Yeah, but we're 22 on the rodeo.
Well, it's been 15 or 16 great years of this Beast Feast, and it's amazing to kind of sit back and look where this thing was when it started with, I don't know, 10 or 12 people. Now we're talking about 1,000 or 1,200 coming out there. If you would, everybody comes out there and they enjoy the raffles and bidding in the auction for some of these really nice trips that we've got and seeing old friends. But let's kid ourselves, excuse me. They come out there for the food, the wild game and the seafood. So what are they going to find this year?
All right, Don, I'm going to list real quick. Well, go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead, Jake. You got the full list of food there for us. Why don't you run through that?
Yeah, I'm going to go through the food list. This year, we've actually got 27 items listed on our official menu. Usually, a lot of these guys who come out, backyard chefs and all, there may be a few items they bring in that we don't even know about, and something special for the people. But I'm going to run through the list here. We start with 5-0 Tailgaters doing a gator jambalaya. They call it gatorlaya. We're going to have Team Dominic Impostato doing his bacon-wrapped quail and smoked scallops. We've got a lot of the Beast Feast committee guys. They're doing some fried alligator, fried duck strips, deer duck tamales. And we've got Acme Oyster House is going to be out there with a lima bean soup that we're pairing with Crescent City Meats alligator sausage. Then longtime supporters, we got Freeman Decorating is going to be out there doing their grilled redfish and mahi-mahi. Then
one of those long lines that Don was talking about there, Jake.
Yeah,
That's one of the popular ones.
always is. This year, we've also got a new one. We got Airgas coming in, and they're doing an infused marinated quail with a Cajun jambalaya with alligator. So we're looking forward to them. I think they're going to have a big spread out. We've got Chef Chad Tusa is going to be out doing some smoked wild boar. We've got Tula's Catering doing a chilled shrimp remoulade pasta. We've got the Tenderfell guys will be out there. The brothers will be out doing some goose tacos. We've got the Archbishop Romo High School cafeteria is going to be doing a crawfish etouffee. We have the fishing club. The Archbishop Romo High School fishing club is going to be out doing their fried catfish, fried boudin balls, and cheese grits. Some new ones we got added. Walk-On's going to be in this year. They're coming out, and they're going to do a duck and andouille gumbo, which is pretty delicious. I've had it over there. We're going to have a kick-in tuna booth. We've got Central Pole Boys coming back again this year with a new item. They've got a chicken and alligator sauce pecan. As we've talked about, we've got Chef Philippe with the Silverfin Cakes, another one that will have a line along the building. We've got the Rib Room's going to be back with turtle soup. We've got Mr. August from down the bayou is going to be coming up doing a seafood gumbo and a buoy cake. I believe it's a dessert. I don't know much about it. I think it's a down the bayou dessert. It's a buoy cake. This year we've got Chef John Fols is doing a bison ragu with orecchiette pasta. And then finishing it out, we've got some more committee guys doing nutria tacos, another alligator sauce pecan with chicken and apple sausage, pasta jambalaya, and finishing us out is Drago is going to be back this year doing blackened alligator tacos.
Wow. If you can't get your fill out of that, I don't know where to send you. I don't know what to tell you.
I got to catch your breath as well. Yeah, the list gets longer and longer every year.
Yeah, and, you know, it's so nice that there's such a blend. You know, we got some of the, you know, five-star restaurants like Drago's and John Foltz and Acme out there. But then we got the backyard boys. You know, the guy throwing the wild boar up on the grill and the Tenderfelt's filet and the goose breast and grilling those things up. It really makes for a nice combination.
It does, Don. And we also, a lot of the restaurants that we bring in, a lot of times those are dishes that you're not even going to find in the restaurant or in a catering company what they would have on their normal menu. So we try to make it special and keep it, you know, unique. Well, that's one thing we've prided ourselves on is just not making it a regular old, you know, tasting fest that you can get anywhere at some fair. You know, this is truly unique. You're only going to get this food out at the BC.
You know, one of the items that seems to be expanding each year is the alligator, and I'm glad to see that. You know, people have just come to realize that's one of those animals that you get a look at it and you go, eat that? I don't know. But then once you try it, you know, it changes the whole opinion of it.
Definitely, definitely. We all seen it year after year. I know, I believe it was 2 years ago, we had the guys with the 5-inch tailgaters were out there. They had an entire alligator on the hoof, skinned out and gutted, but the entire whole alligator on the smoker out there. It was pretty much a sight to see, head on.
I don't know if on the hoof is the right term. Might be more like on the web foot, maybe. Maybe that's more appropriate. Yeah. You know, by the way, Archbishop Hannon has given his dispensation that alligator is classified as a seafood. I don't quite
understand. It's good to go on
that,
a Friday.
Yeah, on a Friday. But we don't have that problem because it's Wednesday. You can eat anything you want, Nutri included. Look, guys, we're going to take a break. We come back, Marvin, I want you to catch us up on some of the fundraising activities, the raffles, the auctions, and also one thing we forgot were the adult beverages that are going to be available. We've got to talk about those, too. We're talking about the 2019 Rummel Alumni Beast Feast. It's set for Wednesday. It's only once a year at 5:30, and it never rains on Beast Feast evening. We'll be And welcome back in. We've been chatting with Marvin Gressy and Jake Russo, Rummel Archbishop Rummel Alumni Association members, and working very hard on putting on the 2019 Beast Feast that will be this coming Wednesday at 5:30 at the school on Severn Avenue in Metairie. Guys, I just got a text message, and someone wanted to know if we're going to see Mr. Peter Javanko out there.
I don't think we'll have him as a booth this year, Don. Pete has retired. We've sent him a ticket and invited him out. We will have some of his venison tamales, which is being carried on by the folks that are still running bought the shop from him, but Mr. Pete's retired. You were gracious enough to help us with a little presentation last year. We were able to recognize him for his years of service with us and donations to the school, and we had a nice plaque done up for him, and I think everybody was able to kind of go shake Pete's hand last year and really just thank him for his contributions for helping us kind of blow Pete's feast up.
Well, as much as he would have liked to see Pete, I'm sure he was inquiring about those duck and deer tamales, too, and make sure they would be there. But hopefully Pete will come out there. Yeah, hopefully Pete and Gina will come out there. And we're not going to let them work at all. You know, they've worked too many years, too hard to do that. They'll be guests out there.
Yeah,
well, Marvin, let's talk about some of the other things that are going to be there besides all this gourmet and exotic game and seafood that we're going to have out there. We have some craft beers that have become very popular lately. For some reason, I don't understand why.
You're right, Don. That's a hot item right now. So we have some really good support from our craft breweries around. Crescent Crown and Southern Eagle are both out there with some donations. We've got Port Orleans, which will have an on-site booth activated for us. Abita Brewing Company, Yingling Distributing is going to be out there as well. Crescent City Brewhouse, right there in the French Quarter, brewing their own beer. They'll have a booth. We're starting to do some of our reunions out there with those guys. And so that's a nice little partnership that's formed. So Crescent City Brewhouse will have some of their items that are brewed right there in the French Quarter for tasting out at Beast Feast. Like I said, Port Orleans will be out there with a really nice setup. I'm talking about bringing out some of their big hitters, too. I think there's a little rumor that Mr. Zach Streif of Port Orleans will be out there with us at the Beast Feast. So, yeah, we're attracting a really nice offering, and one of our big sponsors this year, Don, back again. I think you'll remember from last year, Tito's Vodka was able to bring in kind of the craft vodka bar that they had out there, and that was certainly a hit. Tito's is supporting quite a few things at the school, and they're a little craft vodka group out of Austin, Texas, and they're really come on strong with us in the last couple of years, letting us offer some different things. So we certainly have. Thank the folks over at Tito's Vodka, a couple of alums that are over there that have been able to pull them in to support the efforts of the Alumni Association as we help the school.
Yeah, Tito's has really come on strong, not just with our Alumni Association, but a lot of other conservation and environmental organizations. They've put a lot into it and from the community that they take from, and they're to be commended for that. As far as raffles, auctions, what's going to be out there for folks coming out?
Don, we have two trips this year. We've got auction trips coming. This year we've got Chris Pike with Cast and Blast Charters. Chris has been a longtime supporter of ours. He's probably donated over 10 trips to us over the years. I know he's been involved for over 10 years. And he does full inshore charter trip with his operation out of Delacroix. So we'll have that. And then this year we've actually got an offshore trip with Captain Mike and Safari Blue Charters out of Venice. And they will both be out there. They should both have their boats out there. And Mikey has a brand new 36-foot Cape Fear catamaran. Have you seen this thing, Don?
I've seen the pictures of it. Have not seen it in person yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
I hear in person it's even more impressive than the pictures. So he'll have it out there, the big green gorilla boat. So it will be out there.
So how many people will that trip be for? You know, when we get a trip with multiple people, it usually does really well because a lot of times the guys figure it up and they share the cost in it. How many is that going to be for?
There's offshore trips up to 6 people.
Mm-hmm. And that'll be for tuna, wahoo, maybe snapper, offshore species.
That's it. That's it. Yes, sir.
Any other prizes?
Right now. We've actually got an auction item. Go ahead, Marvin.
One of our big auctions this year is going to be a 50-quart Roland Yeti cooler, about a $450 value, and then a couple other little things we'll sprinkle in from Rummel, and Tito's brings a nice basket as well. So we'll have quite a few things out there for the raffles. 50-50, of course, is really popular. And then we'll also have some of our other merchandise for sale. We did some pre-orders, Don. You'll see a fishing shirt this year, which is new to Beast Feast. So we did a pre-order set. And then out at the event, We'll also have a sign up there where folks who didn't get in ahead of time will be able to they'll see him running around the grounds there, and I'm sure they'll want one. So we'll be able to do some orders for some additional Beast Feast fishing shirts, a nice performance fishing shirt that's become popular pretty lately in the on the fishing rodeo. So we'll have that available here at Beast Feast. So that'll be out there. And Don, just want to remind everybody of a couple of our big guys that really make this possible. It's a really long effort with our committee. Guys start meeting in November and December to get this thing rolling. We have about 20 guys, 25 guys. You make a lot of those meetings, and we have a nice, usually a nice meal prepared by Mr. Claude Gravois to get everybody rolling. And it's months of preparation with that committee. So I want to give a real big thanks to those guys, and then some of our kind of title supporters. The Ray and Jessica Brandt Family Foundation have been an incredible godsend to Rummel over the last 4 to 5 years. They've allowed us with their title sponsorship to really start marketing these fish a little bit more, and then also to put some money back into it to where we can attract some of these nicer exotic dishes and really make things nice out on the field there. So we really thank those folks. Councilman Dominic Impostato has been one of them that's been with us for a long time as well. Malcolm Dinez, and of course we've already mentioned Tito's Vodka. But Don, I'd like to bring up one thing that just came in recently. I think you remember our longtime alumni director, Don Stout. He was able to offer a donation of his choice, and he chose the Rummel Beast Feast. And so we have a nice title sponsorship with those guys as well. He represents the Louisiana Irish Italian Parade, which will be out on Veterans this Sunday. So those guys came in this week with a really nice sponsorship that'll help us produce a great event.
And they certainly are needed to put on an event like this. You know, this is open for everyone, anyone that wants to come, and it's been really rewarding and refreshing to see that it's become even more of a family event. We're seeing more ladies come out. Sometimes they bring the kids, and it's a great way to get out and have a meal. But, you know, one of the underlying reasons for this whole thing is outreach to the alumni. So if we got anyone listening who is an alum that really hasn't been back to the school in a while, this is a great way to come back. You'll probably see some guys from your class, and who knows, you might even want to become a volunteer and get involved in putting this in, or the fishing rodeo or the golf tournament or some of the events, Bowen.
Really is, Don. It's a great opportunity for guys to connect. Like you say, there's some guys that tell me, oh, I only see so-and-so from my class at Beast Feast. And so you'll see around the field some impromptu reunions starting up. Class of 86 will have 10 or 12 guys out there. And 96 that Jacob and I are both part of, we have a really nice following that comes out. So you'll see those mini reunions pop up. You'll get to see Brother Gale and Mr. Milano, our new principal president, and then all the favorite teachers come out. We have a lot of retired teachers. The Alumni Association sponsors the teachers that are currently on staff to come out, so we encourage as many of them to come join us on the field. And then, like I said, you'll see a lot of retired teachers come out and just enjoy the evening telling old stories and having one of those nice craft beers that you mentioned and just really having a good time out there. It's a great connection spot. And we are seeing a growing. I'm sorry, Don.
I was going to say, I don't think we've missed a year without Coach Roth being out there. Jay Roth, who is no longer head coach but athletic director, I'm sure he'll be out there too.
Absolutely, Coach and the athletic staff are out there, and we'll see many many faces that'll jog some old memories for when you come back on campus.
All right, only thing left to do is tell people how to get tickets and what the cost is going to be.
Absolutely. So right now, Don, we are we're RummelRaiders.com, so there's some links there. It has all the information you need. We have a little hot button on the homepage, RummelRaiders.com. You can get your tickets online there. Very limited tickets available day of, so when we sell this thing out, we sell out. So we only sold, I want to say, maybe a dozen or two tickets at the gate last year, and then we had to shut it down. So we encourage everyone to get their tickets now. We do have a price break through midnight tomorrow night. Tickets are $45 online. They'll go up to $50 for Monday, Tuesday, and then $60 a day of at the gate. Again, don't wait to get there at the gate because you'll be in a line that waits for everybody to get in that pre-purchased their tickets. And we can't guarantee that tickets will be available. So I'd encourage everybody to go to that RummelRaiders.com link. Has all of our sponsors on there. Has a nice sampling of the dishes you'll see that Jacob just ran through. A little hot shot on all those auction items. And there's a big button that says buy tickets now. So that'll get you there. And that's the best way and quickest way to get in. And We've really refined the gate in the last few years. Greg Brennan, another 96 guy up there, runs it for us with the help of Mr. R.J. Boudreaux, who's been with us for years. They'll get everybody checked in and through the gate quickly, and especially if you do it online at the website, it'll be the quickest way.
Yeah, and, you know, another one of the good things is there's lots of parking around there, too. You know, when it moved from Green Acres to the school, it kind of alleviated the parking situation, so people shouldn't worry about that. Now 5:30 is the time when the gate will be open. Are any of those sponsor tables still available? Because that was a great idea, whoever came up with that, where if you own a business, you can invite your customers or your clients or your employees and have a special table reserved for you. Are those available, or are they all sold out?
Don, I'll tell you, we sold them out, but if somebody that's listening to the show wants to email us in, they're not available online anymore, but we could certainly work something in and get you a table. We probably got a spot for one or two more to fit in there. So if they would go to the website, all of our contact information's there. They can call or email Jacob or I, and we should be able to get them squared away, especially if they're a loyal listener of Outdoors with Don Dubuque.
All right, guys, anything else you want to add before we wrap it up and look forward to getting out there Wednesday?
Don, I'm gonna continue listening. I just wanted to see if we can ask Drew Dubuque if we can get a striped bass booth out there next year. I mean, he's just really whacking them out there. So I don't know if him and Mike can do something for us next year.
Well, he's on the line and he's coming up in a couple of minutes. I'll ask him about that, if he'll make an appearance and maybe sign some autographs, take some pictures with the folks. You know, we'll see if we can maybe get him out there.
We'll have a spot for him. We'll be looking for him.
Hey, Jake, go ahead.
Don. Yeah, the only thing I wanted to touch on, I wanted to reiterate what Marvin had touched on about without the committee, we couldn't make this event happen. And like we said, there's about 20 guys that were there sitting there told. But I especially wanted to put a shout out and a thank you to co-chairman Marvin, who's on the line with us, Kevin O'Brien, and Greg Brennan. They really put in an enormous amount of work to make this event happen. So I just want to recognize them.
Well, you need to include Jake Russo in it. I know you do a lot of work with this, Jake.
He does a little bit.
Thank you for it. All right, guys, look forward to seeing y'all out there Wednesday evening.
Thanks a lot, Don.
Sounds great, John. Thank you.
All right, and we want to see everyone out there. Come on out, and like they said, come early or get your tickets in advance, because when it's done, it's done. And, boy, I hate to have to close the gate and turn people away, but unfortunately there's only so much place and so much food. All right, coming back after this quick break, we got him. Drew Dubuque made an excellent catch last week, 1 week ago today. He's going to tell you his story, and we welcome you to call and talk with Drew at 504-260-6368. Maybe ask him for a fishing tip. He's got a lot of them. He's an experienced little fishing guy. Don't let his age fool you. This guy is on his way. And we'll be back with him to hear the story of the big striper that did not get away right after this. And we also have a text message board if you'd like to send a message in to our guest who's coming up in just a few minutes, Drew Dubuque. That's at 870-870. Before we bring Drew in, I want to give you a little bit of background on Louisiana State Fish Records. We are the only state in the union where our Louisiana Outdoor Writer Association takes care of the official state fish records. In other states, it's done by the state agency, like their Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, Department of Natural Resources. But here in Louisiana, going back to the 1940s, it has been handled by our Louisiana Outdoor Writer Association, of which I'm a member. I'm also a member of the Fish Records Committee, have been on this committee for quite a few years. And each year we get applications in. We keep the top 10 records, which is also pretty unique. Most states just have a number one, but we maintain the top 10 ranking fish for a number of species of fresh and saltwater fish. And because we have both in Louisiana, our list is pretty extensive. This year, in 2018, I've got a list of about 20 different new records that were set, anywhere from first places on down to 10th places. For sheephead, amberjack, grouper, swordfish, got a new first place southern stingray, 192 pounds. And our fish records committee, at the end of each year, we assess the different entries and we choose a fish of the year for both the fly fishing category and also for our regular fishing category, rod and reel category. And we've got some impressive ones. Well, last week on this Saturday, 1 week ago today, There was a fish caught that is now a pending state record. When I say pending, there's an application that has to be filled in. If you want to look at the fish records, you go to our website at LouisianaOutdoorWritersAssociation.com or LAOWA.com and look up fish records, and you can see the breakdown on all these species, who caught it, what the weight was, and what the date was when the fish was caught. And then there's applications that you can download. They have to be filled out. And in order to keep these records and give them some integrity that they're on the up and up, there's certain criteria that we require. You have to have a biologist identify the fish. We require you to take a photograph of the fish. We need the measurements, the length, the girth, also the exact weight on a state-inspected scale that has to be have an up-to-date inspection sticker on it so that we know that it was a true weight. You have to have two witnesses sign your application and send it in with a $25 processing fee. And then it goes before the chairman and the committee, and they look at it, and if everything is good, then it becomes an addition to our state records. Well, we've got one that is processing right now, and if approved, and I don't see any reason why it will not be, Drew Dubuque, 8 years old, will have the new all-time number 6 state record striped bass at 33.9 pounds. Currently in sixth place, Robert Frisbee caught a 33.5 pound striper back in April of 1982. We have not had a sixth, or actually an eighth or higher place striped bass in Louisiana caught since 1992 was the last time one was caught. Well, now here in 2019, I think we got a new one going to be added. The striped bass, of course, is one of those fish. It can't make up its mind whether it wants to be a freshwater fish or a saltwater fish. It spends part of its life in both of them. And not a lot of people target them or fish for them. Most of them in Louisiana come from the Toledo Bend out west area. We do have a very good viable population in some of our north shore of Lake Pontchartrain rivers, Pearl River, Chifuncta River, and some of the other rivers that flow contiguous with salt and freshwater, you'll find striped bass in there. But for the most part, it's most of them that are caught by someone fishing for something else. Well, we had a young man, he's very close and near and dear to my heart, he's my grandnephew, Drew Dubuque, was fishing last Saturday at his camp in Lake Catherine from the bank, and he landed what is now looks like it's going to be an all-time sixth place state record striped bass for the state of Louisiana. And he's joining us now on the air. If you want to talk to him, we got our phone lines open and our text line open too as we listen to him tell the story. Drew, how you doing this morning, Drew?
Good.
Great. Listen. Glad you got up and talking with us and took a break from fishing. You going to be fishing later today?
Yes, sir.
Well, good for you. Now, listen, I want you to tell the story. I want you to start from the very beginning last Saturday morning when you woke up and tell us step by step what happened with this fish you caught.
I woke up and I put my boots on. I went outside, walked over to the pier, then I got the big pole, and I put a mullet that we had from the night before because we've been catching big bull reds. So we had some leftover mullet. So I put the mullet on the big pole, and I casted that out. Then when I went to go clean the casting net out and cast another pole out or cut up more bait, that pole started screaming and bending. So I ran over to that pole, and I started feeling it. It was screaming. It was pulling out drag. So I kept on reeling it. And then I eventually got to the dock after 20 minutes later. I got to the dock, and my dad helped me get on the dock.
Now, you said 20 minutes? That's how long you had to fight that fish?
20 minutes. Yep.
20 minutes. Now, how long was it before you cast it out, before it hit? Was it almost immediately, or did it take a little while?
3-4 minutes.
Just a few minutes, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you now, when you got the fish to the dock and he was kind of worn out, you couldn't get him up, so you had to go get some help. What was going through your mind when you had to leave that pole? Because you had to go upstairs to get help, right?
Yeah, sure.
What were you thinking? Did you not want to leave the fish, but you knew you had to?
Yeah, I did not really want to leave it, and then I didn't want the fish to come off the hook, so I just went. So I ran back to the camp and got my dad, and then we got it in the net and got it on the dock.
How fast were you running? Did you set records?
Fast.
All right, so now you got your dad. What did you tell him when you got to him?
I said, hurry up. I have a big fish. He said, it's a garfish. I said, no, it's not. And he said, is it a drum? I said, no, it's not. So he said, whatever. So and then he came with me. He didn't believe me. So he kept on coming with me. And then I showed him, and he didn't know, had no clue what it was. And then until we got it on the dock.
Now, is that the first striped bass? Is that the first one you've ever caught and seen?
Yes, sir.
So you didn't even know what kind of fish it was. You just knew it was a big fish.
Yes, sir.
And what other fish do you catch off of that pier? That seems like that's a hot spot you got there.
Trout, redfish, garfish, croakers, crabs.
Oh, y'all got it good over there. Listen, Drew, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want you to kind of tell me what steps you went through. Once you got the fish, you knew you had him, then you had to get him weighed on an official scale so he could qualify for a record, and where you went to do that and what happened since then. We're talking with 8-year-old Drew Dubuque. You can see his picture on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. In the picture with him, a monstrous striped bass, 33.9 pounds, pending to be the number 6 all-time record striped bass caught in the state of Louisiana. You want to chat with him? 504-260-6368. He's got fishing tips if you need one, or send me a text to him at 870-870. We're back right after this. And if you need a fishing trip or you want to chat with Drew Dubuque, our special guest who just caught a 33.9-pound striped bass, you can also text us at 870-870. Drew, I'm getting a couple of text messages in. I'm going to pass them along to you. But before we talk about what you did after you caught the fish in order to get it qualifying for a record, you had a pretty decent duck season. You got your first duck flying this year. How was duck hunting this year for you?
It was good. I shot 2 ducks this year in the air and with my 20 gauge.
And what species of ducks do y'all mainly get?
Gray ducks.
Gray ducks. That's the bread and butter duck over there. Probably some teal too, huh?
Yeah, a couple teal.
Mm-hmm.
And mallards.
Yep. Now, in addition to hunting, you also do a lot of saltwater fishing, and you got several trophies you won from some of the fishing rodeos, too. What kind of fish did you catch to win those trophies?
Redfish, trout, sheephead.
Yeah, too bad they don't have a striped bass category, because you'd have got that. Now, the number one striped bass in the state was 47.5 pounds. James Taylor caught that in 1991. Then it goes down to 44.5, 38.7, 38.25, 37, and then Drew's will be number 6 at 33.9, number 6 in the state. Drew, I got some questions for you. You ready to take some questions here?
Sure.
All right, well, somebody wants to know, what's your favorite bait to fish underneath the lights at night?
Glass minnow.
And any particular color better than others?
White.
White
the glow.
Ones.
The glow ones.
And the glow. Yeah. All right, somebody wants to know, what else do you hunt?
Deer, rabbits, squirrels, everything, anything I can.
Have you hunted turkey yet?
No, sir.
Well, you just got an invitation A guy by the name of Rick invited you to come up there, me and you, to go hunt turkeys on his place in about a couple weeks when it opens up. You ready for a turkey hunt?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm ready for you. You're on a hot streak. We'll probably kill a Godzilla turkey when we go turkey hunting. And I got another text in here. Somebody wants to congratulate you, says that was an awesome fish and a great story and a memory for you, too. All right, Drew, so tell me, what did y'all have to do to get this fish officially recognized as a state record? So, Catching it might have been the easy part, huh?
So we brought it to Lake Cass Marina. Their scale was certified, but it only went up to 30, so our fish was too big for theirs. So now people were everywhere there trying to take my picture. And everywhere, so we tried to load it back up. People were taking the pictures, so we finally loaded it back up. And then we went to Slidell Seafood. They had a certified scale that was big enough. So we measured it, and people were there taking all kinds of pictures, asking me questions. Now my picture is going to be on the wall in Slidell Seafood. And
wow.
Yeah, there's a cool.
Yeah, you're going to be famous over this, it sounds like. Okay, so if somebody was to ask you, look, I really do want to try to catch a big striped bass, what would your tip be for them? What would you tell them how to go about catching a striper?
Use a mullet, and then just... On the bottom, probably like a Carolina, on a Carolina rig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell them about that Carolina ring. Is that the one that's got the sinker on it, and then you got a leader behind it with the hook? About how long should that leader be behind the sinker? How long would you guess?
A foot.
About a foot. And that was the method you used to catch that striper. Now, was that a live mullet or was it just a dead mullet?
It was not like alive, but it still had some juice to it.
He was still kind of fresh. And how did you hook him? Did you hook him through the lip, under the dorsal fin, and the tail? Where'd you put the hook?
Through the back.
Underneath the fin, huh? And then pushed it through?
Yes, sir.
And where was the striper hooked? Was it in his jaw? Did he swallow the mullet? Or where was the hook when you pulled him in?
It was in his mouth. It was right in his lip.
Mm-hmm. And how did you know when to put the rod down and go get help? Did you know the fish was worn out at that time? Or did you think he might swim off and break the line?
The fish wasn't even really swimming, and I just kind of gave him a little bit of line and let him sit there while I ran and got my dad. He was very worn out.
Yeah. Now, I got another message for you here. It says, Drew, is that the first fish you ever caught that could feed your whole family?
Yeah, kind of.
Well, you've caught some pretty big redfish.
Big redfish.
Yeah, the big reds. I know you caught some. Mm-hmm. If you could top that and catch a bigger, better fish, what one would it be? What is the one that's kind of on your bucket list to go after?
Yellowfin tuna.
Uh-oh. Yellowfin tuna. Yeah, boy, that's a fight. All right, now here's another one. Says, the Rummel Beast Feast congratulates Drew. And thanks to Mike, his dad, for Edward Jones, for years of sponsoring the Beast Feast. And we got an invitation. I had the Beast Feast guys on. They wanted to know if you'd come out there and maybe sign some autographs and take pictures with some of the people and maybe set up there and tell the stories and give out some fishing tips. You know, I guess they figure they'll get some extra people to come if you're out there. Can you make it?
Yeah, I'll come. Yes, sir. I'll be out there.
Well, good deal. We'll see you there. All right, anything else you want to tell people about fishing? Maybe give them a little bit of advice. You know, some people, you know, they're not sure if they want to fish. They say, I don't know, you got to get up early, and sometimes it's cold, and not just fishing but hunting. And, you know, I don't know if it's worth it. I'd rather sit and play my little video game or something like that. What would you say to those kids?
I'd rather be outside fishing than sitting in my room playing a video game.
Yep, and the other way to look at it is, y'all play your video games, that leaves more fish for me, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, Drew. Hey, thanks for coming on. You do a pretty good job as a radio show guy, too. Maybe you can do that one day, huh? When I move on, you can maybe take this place and do a little bit of radio and TV, too. We've got to get you on a TV show pretty soon again. You came on one time when you were young. You came on a TV show with us.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I remember.
Well, listen, congratulations. That is one heck of a fish. You did a great job getting that fish in. I know a lot of people a lot older than you and a lot more experienced that would have gone to pieces and would have lost that fish. But you got him there. He didn't get away. You got it documented. And hopefully when your record gets approved, you'll be getting your award. And look forward to seeing you out there at the Beast Feast. And we're going to schedule that turkey hunt. We need to get you out there and shoot one of them big old ground buzzards, they call them.
All right. Thank you, Uncle Don.
Okay. Go catch some fish, boy. We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye.
All righty. There he goes. That's Drew Dubuque, 8-year-old nephew of mine, catching the big one out there, not letting it get away. You know, man, I got to thinking about, suppose Drew's fish would have got away and no witnesses. There was no video, no camera. Kid was totally by himself out there on the dock, just him against the fish. It's kind of like, I guess you could name this story, the young man in the sea, huh? Like the old man in the sea caught the big fish, and nobody believed it. All he brought in was a head. All right, well, I got a few more things here to talk about. By the way, on these fish records, again, if you know, most people that I talk to, and I talk to a lot of record setters because I'm on the Fish Records Committee, been there since about 1980-something. I don't remember when I got on it. And when you ask them, most of them will tell you they never, ever dreamed that they would ever catch a record fish. So a lot of them aren't prepared. And I'll be the first one to tell you there's probably a lot of fish that were caught and either eaten or they just were not taken proper care of, and people did not know the rules of getting a fish officially recognized as a record. And because of that, they regretted that for the rest of their life. So be up to date. You never know when you're going to get lucky and catch a fish that's a record. In fact, there's a lot of openings in the fish records because as fish become popular, and it changes from year to year, certain species move in, and we create new categories for these fish. And as a new category is open, we might only have half the 10 places filled. And because people don't know that, they can actually get their name in the record book. So what I'm going to tell you to do is, the best way to do it is go to our website, Louisiana Outdoor Writers Association, look under Fish Records. And there's explanations there about the criteria. There's certain things that would disqualify it, and a lot of people don't realize that. And it's also good to know, particularly in the offshore species, if you're offshore on a boat and someone hooks up a big fish, let's say a tuna or a wahoo or a grouper, and they're struggling to get this fish in, a lot of times they'll do what's called tag teaming, and they'll pass that rod around between two, three, even four guys to get the fish in quicker. If you do that, if you give the rod to someone else and they crank on the fish, did you know you just disqualified yourself from a state record? You cannot get a fish that has been assisted. Now, somebody can net the fish, they can grab the fish, they can gaff the fish to help you get it in, but only one person can be on that fishing rod at the time they catch it, or it's a disqualification. You also have to have it weighed on a state-inspected scale. Just any old scale won't do. And there are fisheries biologists all across this state. We have talked to an awful lot of them and asked if they would be kind enough when they get a request to meet people and inspect the fish, because we got to get a positive identification. Because if you just take any application and you don't really thoroughly check it out, then your fish records have no integrity. And that's the one thing that we really strive to maintain, is that we have a good, solid integrity of our fish records. And there's a lot of fish there to be caught and a lot of fish that opens for these records, and suggest strongly that you get up to date on it, know how to get the fish records. It's a lot easier now with the Internet. Before, we had to you had to contact a member to get you an application and print it out. Now all of this can be done online. And then, you know, from there, you send it into the records committee, and it'll be processed and the determination made on whether it's accepted or not. Also, again, there's two awards we present, Fish of the Year Award for fly fishing and for rod and reel. It's a decision that's made from all of the ones the previous year, the new records that were entered. This year, we've got about 20 of them. A lot of channel cats in there, yellowtail snapper, blue runner, white bass. We've got also the rock hind, some groupers, even a gaff top catfish, even the fish that a lot of people consider trash fish, you know, garfish and shoepick. We maintain records for those fish. And if you want to get the complete list, go to Louisiana Outdoor Writer Association website, and you can find it all right there. All right, we're just about out of time for this week. We'll be back again next week. We begin at 5 a.m. with the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network, fishing reports, weather information, all the stuff you need to know. Don't forget to watch Bayou Wild TV. We are now airing on WUPL, Channel 54 New Orleans, WBRZ, Channel 2 in Baton Rouge, Cox Sports Television in 17 states, ETEL, Vision Systems, and you can always watch us whenever, wherever on YouTube. That's BayouWildTV.com. Have a great weekend. Enjoy this good weather, and we'll see you next week back here on the radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.